You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by our women's panel with Wendy Gillespie, Carol Rifkin, and Laura Blackley, talking specifically about women who rock. And I posed the question, why aren't there more women who rock? And what makes them something special in the musical world?
Well, I think that just like any other genre that's really hard and heavy, and it's the scene too, you get into heavy metal and punk and hard rock, you know, it's definitely part of an image. Janis Joplin, like we were talking about earlier, I mean, that was part of her persona on stage. That's what was expected of her. It's hard on the body. It's hard on the mind. And not even men in general. I mean, very few people can survive the really hard, you know, hard road scene. I know I've heard Carol talk about being on the road and being with you know, difficult people. I couldn't imagine going on the road with, you know, like Whitesnake or, you know, Kiss or anything like that. But I think one of the up and coming, Allison Mosshart. Yeah, Allison Mosshart of Dead Weather. I mean, she is a powerhouse. She can really like get out there and, you know, say, yeah, this is who I am, and you're not gonna mess with me. And she's really talented and can really stick with the best of the boys. And I think that part of that is that, you know, getting over that, leaving the I'm a girl, they're going to pick on me because I'm a girl, leaving that at the door, checking that at the door when you go in and just being one of the musicians. You're not male and female anymore. You have to actually present that forward and think, you know, I'm one of the musicians, and leave that, you know, somewhere else. And just to not think that and get that out of your mind and be part of that. And I think that's really important. And I think the reason why there aren't a lot of women in like heavy metal and punk and hard rock that you see, because it is a tough, tough genre.
And there's no mentors. There aren't that many women out there that are doing it. And, you know, maybe they came up in the old school where, God, I got here, and by God, I'm going to keep my spot here, and nobody's going to get in, sort of thing. So the idea of mentoring someone who's up and coming was maybe threatening to them. And that's unfortunate, but, you know, I see that changing now. There's definitely been a shift. You know, they have rock camps. I know they do that a lot on the West Coast, and I've been hearing some rumbles about that happening out towards Chapel Hill, that there's a nonprofit girls rock camp out there. And I think there's even one in Asheville
there
on a smaller scale.
On Merriman Avenue at the Asheville Art Center there. They have a rock and roll camp for high schoolers every summer.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, if girls can go to that and have that experience in high school, that it's okay. It's okay to do that. And you don't have to be technically proficient. That doesn't have to be what it's about. It's just about, you know, putting it out there, who you are and what you can do. And, you know, everybody's good at something. And I think that's a huge lesson for a kid that age.
I'll throw out there that I think some of the great appeal of women rockers is that from a man's standpoint, and from our perspective, it's a little bit of a woman sort of meeting us on our own sort of level, in a way, like pictures of women in bikini with guns, you know? A little bit of that sort of phenomenon, you know. It's like, yeah, that double appeal of sexuality and with that sort of ultra masculinity.
Absolutely. Dead Weather.
Yeah.
You see in their videos, lots of guns, lots of ammunition, cannonballs. And I think, like we were talking about, like, you know, leaders, like someone who could lead that would be Joan Jett.
Yes.
Because not only does she still rock, she rocked from the first moment she hit the stage, and she hasn't lost it.
No.
And she still, of course, as one of my friends, Mike, on Twitter pointed out, looks fantastic, and she's hot. But I think part of that is who she is. It's what she puts forward, too, because she's also a genius, and she's a fantastic businesswoman. She and Dolly Parton should go into business together and start a mentor program for women in the business.
Really? I want to sign up. I don't know. I look at the rock favorites of the past, at Grace Slick and you know, her Roland and Janis Joplin and all the great rockers of the, I guess, late 60s and early 70s, and they're not with us anymore, many of them, for the most part, although Stevie Nicks is still out there. And I wonder, as someone who has toured and played, how much of that is having good boundaries on the bus, being able to say, this is my space, stay out of it, and this is what I can tolerate and can.
Yes.
And some good sense about what's good and bad for you, which I think people today are so much more aware of. not to make this an excuse, but I went to college in the 70s and we all looked around going, drinking's bad for me? Drugs are bad for you? I mean, people actually know that now. I think that's one thing. Health food was a new phenomenon, you know, in the late 70s. That was like a big deal. So I think there are a lot of things going for women rockers now that they might not have had.
Not that I need to smoke cigarettes so I'll sound that way.
Well, I don't know. That might still be going on, but maybe not.
Maybe not. You know, no. That thing about Joan, too, she never drank, never smoked, even from the time she was in the Runaways. And you would think that they would just be head-banging, hard partying every night, but not so. And, you know, and she does core strengthening yoga every day. I read that somewhere. And, you know, she looks amazing. I'm like, oh, my gosh, have you seen the stomach muscles on that woman? But, you know.
I mean, what if Grace Slick had said, I do yoga every day? Would anyone have believed that? Or
she
Janet
kept it quiet.
Or, I mean, times have changed. Times have changed. We're able to have boundaries where we say, I'm going to do what's good for me. And that's okay. I mean, that might be what the bottom line is. It's okay to do what's good for you now. You don't only have to do what's cool and also might kill you. Could be a big part of it. But there's a lot of regional rock women, too, I was just thinking, who have survived for a long time. I love Donna the Buffalo, for example. And Tara Nevins, her longevity is pretty amazing. I met her as a young old-time musician. She was playing in the St. Regis String Band in upstate New York and has been in such successful, you know, folk pop rock band for a long time, living on a bus. And that girl has done it. I mean, she's hung in there, so it can be done.
Another thing is that, you know, people like Beth Gibbons with Portishead and Karen O, they direct, they lead. You know, they're not followers. They say, this is where I'm going. And Bjork, like, this is where I'm going. Are you guys coming with me? And, of course, they're going to come with them because they're geniuses and incredible artists. And they don't wait for somebody else to make a move. They take it and they run with it. And just like all the, like, Dolly Parton, Joan Jett, you name it, those people who really, they're the ones like, yeah, you coming with me? You know, kind of like that. You see them leading, and it's so awesome to see.
Well, I think part of it, too, is that women are learning to play lead. I think there has always historically been that you didn't teach your daughter to play guitar. You taught her to play the rhythm part. You taught your son to play the lead guitar. And I don't know that women were encouraged. It's the same. I see it across the board in almost all the genres. The girl's supposed to sing the pretty song. And I think there's some of that in rock and roll as well. There aren't as many great lead guitarists who were females. I mean, it's very rare.
A handful.
Yeah, I mean, and it's been the same in bluegrass and old time, and that's really changing. There are a lot of really hot young instrumentalists coming up right now. They're playing the lead and just really doing great. I mean, there's a 15-year-old named Danielle Bishop in Asheville that has beat all the guys in every fiddle contest going all over the country. Just and that's just one of many, many stories going on right now. I think women, there's just a whole consciousness shift that the role of what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do has gone away. You know, you can do whatever you want.
It is a cool thing to be a part of it. I think the Dixie Chicks may have had a lot to do with that. You know, they reached such a far and wide audience with their abilities, and they played their instruments. And yeah, what a concept. Imagine that, women standing up there doing their thing and having a great time and sounding great too. And playing great songs.
Absolutely. But a woman on a lead guitar is a powerful thing.
Carol, you've brought to the table a list that you found on the internet from Digital Dream Door of the top 100 female rockers. But notably absent on this list is Chrissy Hynde. We'll have to link this
The
whatitisradio.org website so people can debate it. But Chrissy Hynde, I would put her high up on the list. I don't see her here anywhere.
Top five for sure.
And Debbie Harry.
But yeah, you know, there are, when you think about it and you start to really add things up, there are a lot of really notable women rockers. And not sure how many of these are actually active still.
You know, I heard Patti Smith, you talk about women rockers that have longevity. I know she's put out a number of records, but she took some time off from her career, and I heard her speak at this event out west one time, and, you know, everybody's waiting with bated breath. They said, Patti, you know, what do you do? What do you do to navigate that road? How do you stay in it? And how do you stay vital and important, and or maybe not important? And she considered the thought for a minute and took a deep breath, and she said, take care of your teeth.
could really digress on that topic. Yeah. I once went to, long ago, it used to be really hard to hear good country music or good bluegrass at night without going to kind of a marginal place. And I would get guy friends to take me to these, to those places that, you know, women didn't go, kind of, yeah, to hear great bands. It was like this whole underground cult circuit. And I would get, you know, and people would have like guns and just all kinds of stuff in there. I guess it's similar to some of the hip hop kind of stories I hear now, but I remember being in the ladies' room and overhearing a discussion about men, and they said, well, you know, the main thing is you just want them to have teeth.
If they don't, that's a deal breaker.
So maybe we have equality across the board. Maybe the women, maybe we all just ought to have teeth as well. But yeah, going back to the list, one of the things when we were talking about women rockers, the great R&B singers of my childhood, I started thinking, well, are they rock and roll, whatever? And I was happy to see on this list that they are included as rock and roll people. You know, I started thinking who was, although Martha and the Vandellas, man, I mean, if Martha wasn't a rocker, what was she with those three chords? And I don't see her on here, but most of the R&B people are on this list.
I don't know if Wanda Jackson's on this list, but she deserves to be.
Oh, she is. Sure. She's number 48 because I looked for her. She was up there on my list of people who should be on here.
Well, here's another question for you. Among women, what is the sort of appeal to rock and roll? Is it a much more of a minority than the appeal to other forms of music? Is that one reason why there are fewer women rockers?
I think maybe women have decided that, well, or I don't even know if it's really a conscious choice, but you were talking earlier about it being the scene itself. It's so masculine. And, you know, to walk in there, you've really got to be guaranteed that that's the style of music you want to play. And, you know, there might be something else that's more suited, you know, to the feminine side of the personality could be deemed as being more folksy, old-timey, just because maybe that's a kinder, gentler thing. But then there are those exceptions out there that can really rock with the best of the boys.
I think you have to be able to deal with the condescension. Males can be very condescending in a very male-dominated area. You have to be ready to deal with that and throw it back in their face. And like I talk about hip-hop, Missy Elliott and Queen Latifah and Salt and Peppa, they did that. Yeah. They're like, yeah, you know, yeah, say what you want. You know, I'm the one running the show right now. And they've done that successfully. I mean, Salt and Peppa, they definitely, we were talking before, they decided they wanted to go with the family route, but they really helped open doors for other women. But still today, I mean, Missy Elliott will throw it right back in their face. I mean, you know, she has no qualms about doing that and says, you know, as a woman, you know, you're not gonna count me out. And I am making the deals here, and I am the boss. And I think just like in rock and roll, I can imagine like you going in, especially in the heavy metal or punk. And that scene, I mean, I remember growing up, I mean, my brother was 10 years older than me, and I got into a lot of places. I got into Ziggy's when I really shouldn't have gotten into Ziggy's. But you'd see it. I mean, the tough, it's hard because you're like, you have to, do I really want to deal with this? Do I really want to throw it back in their face? You have to want to do that and have the energy to do that. And sometimes you just have to learn to not take it personally and prove them wrong. And I think it just takes someone who has that. They really want to do it.
Yeah, it could even become less about the music and more about, God, how am I going to just build myself up so I can even go out on stage? I can't even imagine what that would be like in that scene, you know?
I think, too, women used to always be part of the family unit. If you look back on most of the big stars, they were married to somebody in the band, they were married to a producer, or they had a family relationship some way in music, and that doesn't have to be true anymore. I mean, that's not been true of everyone. There's the Patsy Cline's and the whatever, but I think for a lot of people, if you weren't in a relationship or had some kind of a relationship of that type, familiar relationship, it was really, really hard to be in music. And I think that's definitely changed.
And I think you have an instrumentation and someone who really owns the instrument, like Erin McEwen.
Yeah.
On guitar. She's a fireball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and she is incredible. I mean, I know, like, guy friends who have, like, they had a choice between, you know, going to see Erin McEwen play and maybe going to see one of their, you know, favorite male rock bands play. They would drop everything and go see Erin McEwen instead because they're just in awe of her talent and her mastery of the instrument. And and the way she works the crowd, and she's just in it. And, you know, I think, and that's part of it too. I think it's really wanting it. And I think it goes back to the desire and the push and the passion, especially, and it has to be for those, and for hip hop, especially, you have to want it. And that's not just for women either. I mean, there's a lot of competition out there.
Sure.
You know, male and female, you have to push and you have to want it. I mean, and you see someone like, you know, let's say like on the male side, Jay-Z, who came literally from nothing, from zero. And you listen to his music and some people think, oh, it's hard and harsh. No, that's exactly how it is where he's from, where he came from. And he's telling you the truth. And you see the women in that industry saying the same thing. And a lot of people get taken aback by it because of the content. But if you listen to it, you can tell why they're there. Because they made it out of that situation alive, and that's part of it. And you can see that because of that strength that they gained through that, that's why they're making it in the industries, because they already made it out of that. And the same thing with like people who do bluegrass, and they came from my you know, family.
The Loretta Lynns.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Dolly
lived
Parton.
In a cabin with, you know, just, you know, walls, a plank was the wall, and you'd have to have all these comforters on you to stay warm in the winter. And if you can make it out of that alive, and you're that strong, then there's something there that's part of your person, I think, that makes you make it.
I think that's why people gravitate towards older styles of music, because it's the music of a people that were stretched beyond their means. We've gotten pretty complacent in this day and age. You know, we've got all these conveniences and comforts. But, man, you hear somebody singing a song about the 9-pound hammer or John Henry, or, you know, those were real people. And people want that connection still, even though we're living large.
What do you think? Email us what it is at wncw.org. I'm Joe Kendrick, and our women's panel today talking about women who rock.